that old-timey radio guy was right. We are preparing a classic radio broadcast for you tomorrow night at 7. Well, at least that's when it debuts. You can listen to it all weekend if you pay the 10 bucks, and we hope you do. We also want to thank some of our matching donation partners who have helped us out this week. On this show, it was David from First Equity and Aquarius Home Services. On other shows, it was Little Blind Spot, Livia Weight Control Centers, and
AARP.
AARP Minnesota.
Yep.
And the whole thing is sponsored by Dr. Anesthetics and 360 Painting Minneapolis. So thank you to all those people. And thank you to all the other ones that are just giving little donations, especially Carla, who name dropped me.
Oh,
wow. Because she said you look like...
Yeah, you know, I do have a beard and some long hair. And
you're way better looking.
And a bit of a belly. So,
I think it was more the rounder face and the impish gleam that you have in your eye, like Jack Black.
I see that. And I have
What's your problem, Julia?
Nothing.
Yeah, what is your problem? Do you have a problem with describing? I have a round face, Julia.
You do. You have a moon face. You're both cancers. Right.
Oh, I see.
You're both cancers.
So what are we going to be doing? How are the cancers going to react to the blue full moon on Saturday?
Well, we have to be very careful between now and Tuesday to watch what we say to people we love who might be prickly right now.
Okay.
Because their Mercury is in retrograde.
There you go.
Yeah, like I said, my wife and I just, we're not...
Talk about nothing but fluffy...
Okay, we'll try.
Happy things.
Call her darling.
And we were trying. We were like, what should we do for Halloween? I don't know. There's a pandemic. I don't know. And then, we just...
Rocco, I don't think you're alone in that because your kids are going through disappointments and it's hard as a parent.
It really is.
And I don't think you're alone in that. So just give yourself gentle grace.
And then we're like, maybe we should have people over. And then I'm like, well, that gives us like 24 hours to get a costume. I don't know. And then all of a sudden we have 20
people. You're making
people
it
over.
Way too hard.
I know, but we want to have fun. And I've been collecting like TV episodes of classic television episodes, you know.
With Halloween?
Not just like the spooky one. Yeah. We've been doing that for Christmas for about 20 years. We decided to maybe let's try Halloween. So not only do we have like spooky like Twilight Zone and the Night Gallery and stuff, but we also have like the Jeffersons and Alice. And
you should do it.
I'll just say this, that Casey has come up with a way for us to bring a portable generator, our own heat source with us. So if anyone does want to invite us to any of their outside whatever, we bring our own heat that we're willing to share. That's what Casey came up with. He said that'll make us invitable.
That's hysterical.
I like it. And there's all sorts of little heater devices, right?
Target is just, I was peeking the other day looking for some, and Target just they're on me.
I've got a smaller portable propane tank, and we can bring this with
us. That's very nice. And Cher, we want to thank Barb. You know who you are, Barb, and you're one of our OGs.
Yeah.
She's one of our original number one fans. Thanks, Barb, for donating. If you want to write us a note, donate, call us, donate,
whatever.
Did anyone
call about a Harry's thigh?
No.
Harry Styles' thigh?
No.
Well, when you look at him at that girl's house having a cup of tea or whatever, that photo, you'll want to know about Harry's thigh tattoo.
We're $3,000 away from our goal of $10,000. And what happens to us is tomorrow is Friday.
Yes.
And we're only going to be doing our portion of the show for an hour. And then everybody else joins in for the last 2 hours. So
we raise money through Sunday night.
But so I just want to remind people that.
Julia always likes, let me Hollywood speak it. We only have an hour to fundraise tomorrow, and all the other shows have two, and that is what
I'm just trying to tell people to donate early.
But I mean, that's what you're saying, I love how you remind us of that every single year as a preemptive, maybe possible excuse for possibly coming in last.
No, I'm okay.
But last year, I think we did very well because we had the kids.
Yeah.
We had the art buddies.
I'm not feeling, I'm over.
You're a liar.
I'm over my competitive thing. I just wanted people to know, you know, Lori, be on my team. Don't make me feel bad.
I'm not making you feel bad. It's every single.
Oh my gosh.
See what I mean about the Mercury retrograde?
I know. You can't say anything right.
You can't say anything right between now and Tuesday. Be very careful.
It's bad for people that talk on the radio for a living.
Okay. Well, so here, let's talk about this. Let's talk about a couple of movies. Okay. A movie that people are not happy about, and as soon as I found out that the family was against it and no movie rights were granted.
I know what you're talking about. The thrill is gone.
No, it is the David Bowie movie called Stardust.
Oh.
And it's Stardust, it's David Bowie in the Ziggy Stardust, like say 1971. Okay. You know, and the whole creation, how that came about. David Bowie's family isn't on top of it. No music rights have been granted. So it's a David Bowie supposed biopic called Stardust.
With no music.
Yeah, people.
That happened to Whitney Houston a couple times.
Yeah.
Remember, this happens to people a couple times. Well,
no, you can't have an accent that bad, a film that looks like an American soap opera, and you can't have a Bowie film without his music. You guys should not have bothered.
Okay, well, here's one that you will be happy about.
Okay.
B.B. King band members are going to portray themselves in the film The Thrill Is Gone. And Walter Riley King, James Bowden, Michael Doister, and Tony Coleman. Do you know all those people from the B.B. King band?
Walter, I know from my friend Marilyn.
Right. They're all going to be in it. So four members of the B.B. King band will portray themselves in The Thrill Is Gone, an upcoming film that stars The Wire's Wendell Pierce as B.B. King. And the King Estate has specified this is not an authorized biopic, but it tells the story of King's friendship with the drummer Michael Zanettis.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, one of the things about B.B. King, he never really stopped touring, and he was so committed to his band, and he had a huge band.
Right.
And he too, because those guys, that was their working musicians. This is how they made their
money.
Exactly. It wasn't that they weren't glad to have their 6 weeks off here, but I mean, he was like,
always traveling.
I don't know what the percentage of dates, but you know,
he really was always on the road. But see, now when this news came out about The Thrill Is Gone, there is another biopic in the works. That is
with the family
official, and it's in the work with Saturday Night Live's Kenan Thompson.
Mm.
Which,
well, so the one will be kind of like taking the that approach,
a docudrama,
just like kind of
the other one will be movie,
yeah,
like, you know,
right. Tell
Man.
His story,
right?
Whatever it
so
is,
so I think those will be pretty good things.
You know, when I was researching classic radio shows yesterday,
yeah,
B.B. King was a person who got started on a radio show.
Really?
In Memphis. Yeah, there was a station down there called WDIA, and it was by and for African Americans, and he had his own show, the B.B. King Show, and that's how he got his start.
Wow.
So there's my little chime in.
Can I chime in one thing on David Bowie?
Because right as you were saying that, something that came across my Facebook feed, that there's a Under Pressure duet that just came out between Willie Nelson and Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yes.
We listened to it earlier today.
We got to hear it, though. Yeah, we have to hear it.
Lord, we listened to it.
But did we play it on the radio?
No. Oh, so. We got to hear it on the radio.
He is 80 plus, okay. I think, but he can still play that guitar.
Yeah, wow. He really can.
I think a lot of people don't know how good of a guitarist he is. You watch his fingers. That guy knows how to pluck and...
I'm dying play. Over Karen. I'm just trying to listen to Karen do her Under Pressure.
She's from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. You know her, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. Okay, right there, Springboard for the Arts. These are, if you like that song, if you like hearing that, and I mean, if everything we talk about, Julia, is art, TV, Hollywood, movie, I mean, absolutely everything that we talk about. Tom Cruise, I saw a very worried photo of him today in Venice. If one can look worried in Venice, he is. He's standing on a bridge with his director because apparently 12 people have tested positive on the Mission Impossible set because there's so many people working on that movie. And I'm sure people are glad to be back on that movie.
And so many destinations.
And so many destinations. So sets were being dismantled.
Okay,
because, you know, you get to build the set. Maybe you get 48 hours to use it. Now there's quarantine.
Do you think it's happening on the ship? Wasn't he leasing a ship from Carnival or something where he was putting everyone up?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. But it was already halted once earlier this year. But I mean, how many people are maybe on a Mission Impossible movie?
Right, a ton. And then you think back before that, it was halted because he broke his ankle.
Yes.
Okay, so this thing has been on off and, for a couple
of
years.
He's got like 150 extras.
Wow.
That are moving in motion on all these sites.
Well, that's funny you bring up Tom Cruise, because 22 years ago today, the year was 1998, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman were married, and they got a $500,000 settlement from London's Express newspaper for an article claiming they were both gay and their marriage was a cover. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
22 years ago today.
Mm-hmm. All right, listen, we come back. It's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Holly!
Hello!
Oh, look at it. We get to see you.
Hi! Yes, I thought I'd join the Zoom.
We're all on Zoom. Is this on Facebook? Has this been on Facebook?
No, it's not on Facebook, Lori. We went through this all week.
All right.
It's on our
Don't
website.
Tell me now.
You just click on the Project Down and Dirty logo, and you look underneath it, and you can see us live all week.
All right, fine.
And we want to thank Jean for her donation. Thanks, Jean. Okay.
Okay, thank
Back to you,
Holly.
Jean.
Wonderful. All right.
Is this on Facebook?
All right, let's start off with, we've got happy news starting off the Dirt Alert this afternoon. Carly Kloss is pregnant. She's expecting her first child with her husband, Josh Kushner. This, according to People.com, they're exclusively confirming this, saying that Carly is overjoyed to be expecting her first child next year. She will be the most amazing mother.
Well, of course she will. Who isn't going to be?
Right.
Everyone has really good
She's
going
to be the worst.
Yeah, right. You're not going to put out a press release being like, well, she
We're
might
so
be kind
nervous
of...
she's having a baby. She's just been the worst woman.
Right. She's a terrible child to start with.
Oh, so congratulations to Carly Kloss. And also congratulations, we mentioned this at the Dirt Alert update in the 3 o'clock hour, that Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost tied the knot in an intimate ceremony over the weekend. And they did this thing that celebrities are starting to do, using good news announcements to support charities that they believe in.
Good.
And that's what Scarlett and Colin have done, because they made their official wedding announcement on the Meals on Wheels America Instagram page.
I love it.
It's very cute. It's a cute picture of a Staten Island ferry with some tin cans photoshopped behind it.
And, you know, she's so relieved because it's her third marriage. So she just wanted something low key. And the pandemic is the perfect opportunity.
Because think of it. Who was Josh?
He's never been married before Colin Jost.
I know, but who was her? Oh, she had the Frenchie.
Right, Ryan then, Reynolds was her first husband. So she just, you knew that she was like secretly relieved.
Yeah. It was like, hey, this is my third time.
Yeah, I don't need anything fancy. And you really do say that by your third time. I can speak from authority.
I was just going to say, experience.
Experience, you know.
Yeah, you don't need the fairy tale wedding.
You don't. You've already had it.
Yeah. So now you have the intimate wedding. Well, that's exactly what Colin and Scarlett did. Allegedly, they got married in her backyard at her house in the Hudson Valley.
They really are. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Now, we're going to circle back to a story that we talked about yesterday during the Dirt Alert concerning Meghan Markle, that her attorneys were asking for a delay in her upcoming trial against the Mail on Sunday. Well,
did she get it?
She did. So Meghan Markle received an extension on this trial. The judge, during a private hearing this afternoon, said that they can delay the trial until sometime in autumn. We didn't get a date on this exactly.
She's trying to get, I went a deep dive on this thing. She's trying to get a summary judgment. So this ends up getting dismissed, because no matter what the Daily Mail says, this, that, and the other thing, they had no right to publish her personal letter that her dad sold to the Daily Mail.
And she's trying to back out of the suing them because she knows she can't win.
Well, no, not only, but also the Daily Mail can't either.
Right.
They have no lay. They can't publish that.
Well, right, but she's also backing out of the lawsuit.
Well, she's hoping to get a summary judgment. That's right. The thing that I read, so it won't even have to go to trial.
Right.
That the court will agree with her that they shouldn't have published that letter.
All right.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, little gossip nuggets around, is that if this goes to trial, there will be information that would not behoove Megan to have public concerning sources talking to tabloids on her behalf,
right.
The construction of finding freedom, because that was one of the big things that the judge in this trial said,
right.
Yeah, you can have finding freedom mail on Sunday. You can use that in your case. And although they made it very, very clear at the time, Harry and Meghan, that they did not participate in the creation of that book, reviews said that it was very obvious that their fingerprints was all over it.
Yeah, they obviously told people, go ahead and say, you know, who, go ahead and talk to them. But the Daily Mail also would not like it to be known how much they paid Thomas Markle for that letter.
Right. So everyone's going to look ugly in this trial.
Yeah.
I think it's the bottom line that no one's going to look good if all of this stuff goes public. And again, Julia, the Talenti and the Johnny Depp crotch.
I know. You know. We need to give a quick shout out to Michelle, who just donated on behalf of all the amazing artists and entertainers in our beautiful Twin Cities. I love you, Lori and Julia. I listen every day. Catherine, Anonymous, thank you people for donating. We'll read your long distance dedications until we're off the air today. So back to you, Holly. Sorry.
Oh, that's wonderful. Go to mytalk1071.com, click on Project Down and Dirty, click on Donate on the Lori and Julia Show page, and your funds will go to Springboard for the Arts, because that is the charity that this show is backing during this year's Project Down and Dirty.
Holly, I just have to thank you for finding the trailer, just the photo of you and McGregor on the set in New York City in the Halston biopic. Damn.
Right.
It's going to be so good. He's so good. I love him as an actor.
But does he look handsome as Halston?
Ewan McGregor is a handsome guy.
I would agree. In Moulin Rouge, I thought he was going to die, even though he was kind of, you know, funky looking. He's handsome. Swimming with the Salmon
and May,
that movie, he was beautiful.
May some flare pants and turtlenecks make a reappearance in men's fashion when all of this is over.
I love a man in a turtleneck.
Can we also bring back some pattern? Maybe a little paisley, some flare going on. So this is a movie that's currently filming in New York City. This is the Halston biopic, Ewan McGregor starring in the title role. So they were filming this pre-COVID-19.
Oh, they were? Okay.
Yeah. So we had some of the photographs from way back when, but who remembers that time
anyway?
No, we can't. So now there are new pictures from the set in New York City, and it's fabulous. Definitely went down a rabbit hole looking at Halston and Liza Minnelli and Studio 54.
Did anyone watch that documentary in Halston?
You did.
Besides me? But did you, Holly?
I didn't.
Yeah, I've watched a Halston documentary from a couple of years ago.
He's really an incredible guy, and has an amazing life story, and very, ahead of his time, but yet at the same time brilliant and his own worst enemy.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Halston got his start as a milliner designing hats for Jackie Kennedy at the time.
Like Mainbacher or something like that?
Yeah. And then he moved on. And then he was, you know, high fashion. And then he went and did the JCPenney's licensing deal, which a lot of people razzed him for at the time. But now it's like, well, that's what everybody does.
That's what everyone did. But they were like, and I remember buying a Halston when my dad got married to wear to his wedding. Oh. It was aubergine. It was Halston at JCPenney. I just was in heaven that I could own a Halston that I could also wear to a disco after my dad's wedding.
Did you go to a disco after your dad's wedding?
Of course I did.
Was it the one?
It was a purple jumpsuit, you know, the flare. I mean, it was so Halston. I wish I'd kept that damn thing.
Was it the place with the stuffed squirrels in Duluth? Or
That's the Club Saratoga.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
it's a classic, though. It's a must.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and finally, for your Gwyneth Paltrow news of the day, if you want to buy a $28 bag of coffee, you can on goop.com today.
What?
It's a Goop Fair Trade specialty coffee in 12 ounce It's packages.
And I like how most of the fair trade is going to goop.com's pockets.
Yes, it is. Jeez. Yeah. Tasting notes, delicate floral, honey, and peach.
That sounds kind of good. A good cup of coffee is
important. But Julia, $28. I know you would
thanks,
not pay
Holly.
That.
Yes,
thank
you
so much.
Donate that $28 over here to Springboard for the Arts.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's
just tell them your theory, Lauren.
I have a theory, Julia, that we're going to raise $2,000 between now and midnight.
Okay, thank you. That's a good one.
Because of the replay?
Yes.
And everything, people are going to be touched and moved, and they're going to want to know what about Harry's tiger? Because someone somewhere has donated $50. Harry Styles, only because the cutest story of 2020 is posted on our webpage. But I just want you to know, Harry's tiger on his thigh.
His tiger tat, his tatorial is
that's right.
Through.
When he was asked about the meaning of the tiger on the front of
his
thigh.
Did he say something? You know what it means when you have a tiger on your thigh.
This is what he said. Tiger.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
He roared.
I want to laugh at you so hard right now. Okay. And why we're saying, you know what it means when you have a tiger on your leg, Rocco, that is...
A tiger.
But that is back to David Cassidy, when we met David Cassidy
right.
at Mystic Lake.
Grand Casino.
Grand Casino, Mille Lacs. Mm-hmm. And we were all wearing satin pants.
Yes. And he put his hands around our waist, very much on top of our butts.
Yep.
And kind of rubbed it. And he said, oh, we all have satin on.
No, you said, David, we all have satin on. And he goes, and you know what that means. And then we just laughed. And we've never known.
Satin sheets.
Oh.
Satin sheets. Right. And, you know, people always think they're so exciting and sexy.
They're a pain in the butt.
Well, you slip off of them.
Yes, you do.
Unless you're... pretty
and they don't
stationary
breathe really
person.
Well. Yeah. I don't like that.
But that's what it means, satin sheets.
Because that was so funny. We're like, and you know what that means?
And we just laughed, but we were too nervous. But I think I knew. Okay. So anyway, I have a theory we're gonna raise money, Julia, and go strong till midnight. And then
we just got a big thank you, Jean. $100.
Yeah, no.
Two more anonymous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, people are
thanks, people. This
we're
is wonderful.
End of the day people, you know. Jason and those guys, they got the early birds. They got the morning people.
I'm so grateful that they helped us, though.
And it was a lady, I think, who accidentally did it.
Well,
and then
they ran with it. Which is, I'll give them credit. I don't care. I love it.
Please help us and troll us at the same time.
Whatever it takes.
Okay, so I brought a couple of theories today that are, you know, specific to our time of the year. And I know you two you're not really fans of horror stuff, but why do we love to be scared? Okay.
Well, why don't we ask you that? Lori, why do you love to be scared?
No, there are many people.
It's fun
many. You two are in more of the minority on that because otherwise Halloween wouldn't be as big as it is. With all the haunted things.
I like being scared. I love a good haunted house.
Okay, so here's the deal. And this, I didn't have to go very far. It was in my recent issue of Psychological Science.
Oh, God.
And I think they had it planned for the October issue, obviously.
Oh, imagine.
But it was a study, and they wanted to find out, okay, when it comes to fear, of course... people love to be scared senseless, but why? And what they have found, this is a research that has basically confirmed sort of what other research has done, but these guys had people wired up their brains and they went through a haunted house in Denmark.
Okay.
And which apparently the Danes do great haunted houses. FYI, we can travel again.
I can't wait.
Back to Scandinavia. Again.
Back to Scandinavia. But we have a sweet spot for fear that gives us pleasure. But it's a very fine line and it's different for different people. If it's too frightening, it turns fun into something unpleasant very easily. Just ask any parent who's insisted a kid maybe watch something that was too scary for them, even if it's a ride or whatever, you know. I think of Casey and like he made like his son watch something super scary at 7.
I'm so surprised that would come out of your household.
Yeah, but I wasn't married to him then, but mm-hmm. he didn't remember it being so scary. And now his son really does not like anything scary because that first time pulled him over the edge. So, but there's a physiological arousal that plays a role in why we find horror movies and haunted houses so appealing. And our pulse quickens and we get this release of hormones. And these hormones kind of feel good in a good, scary way. So when they had these 110 people, mm-hmm. brains wired up, their pulses wired up and going through this scary house, is that they found that that recreational fear of anticipating someone just jumping out, but maybe they're behind bars, so you know they can't get you, whatever it might be. It was like a little scare can be a fun thing. And so people scream in fear and then in delight. Very often you will hear that when you go through a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
You're screaming and then you start just absolutely laughing. Or if you've got
100%.
A haunted hayride.
100%. And then you do start laughing hysterically.
And you do start laughing. Yep. And Casey and I went on the haunted hayride, Rocco, the one that's up 35. It's really a pretty good one.
It's going on right now?
Well,
or
no.
You did it a year.
Yeah, it's up by the East Diamond Aces, where they do the chariot rides and all that stuff. Yeah.
Super good. Okay. Super scary. Really good. You're on and I
love a haunted.
Okay.
I do not. Why?
Okay. But this is what I did because we were with someone who was a little afraid of being scared.
My niece. Our niece.
Yeah. So we brought the remote controlled fart machine
to break it up.
And we, when there, it got to be too scary, and there were a couple of people that were even younger than that, and I could see that these kids were really scared, then I would let loose the fart machine.
That's hysterical. Just to break it up.
To break it up. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my little thing. But they realized that our brains, we have like a U-shaped curve in terms of fear and enjoyment. So if people are not very scared, they don't enjoy the attraction. And the same thing happens if they're too scared.
Right.
It's just the right amount of fear that we like.
Well, we have scared people into donating.
Good.
Because we have Karen has donated $50 to our beloved musicians in the Twin Cities.
Yay!
Rock on, she says. Thanks for your donation, Karen. We're at $7,435.
We started the day at like 4,800 when we got on the air.
Thank you, everybody.
Really,
we're just trying to get to $10,000. This is awesome to help our local artists. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I just have one more theory.
I like to be scared that way. I don't like long, scary movies.
And it's why, like, sometimes people know, like, with a scary movie, I don't like slasher. I want psychological thriller where it's, you know, a closed door, you know, or something like that. So there is a difference. Some people are like, I can't take that. But I mean, I even love it if I have to scream and hold the scarf over my face.
We're well aware.
And look through my fingers like this. It's so exciting. You know, okay.
Huzzah!
Now, here's another theory. This is just take it for what you will.
Are you still talking?
Yes.
This is what I say to my other sisters sometimes. Are you still talking?
Julia.
I'm giving you crap. Love,
yeah.
Though.
Okay. So this is a new paper that I slogged through in behavioral ecology, which is not my favorite. But the headline, Wild Vampire Bats, drew me in to the story.
Okay? All right.
Guess what, everybody? And I'm talking to the baby whiners about the mask, and they don't want to wear the mask. Guess what sick vampire bats do when they're sick?
Cough on you.
No, they socially distance themselves from all the other bats.
Well, who knew?
They go and they hang all by themselves. You know, usually bats are all, you know, hanging, sleeping together in their caves and their caverns.
Wacko.
They're very sociable animals.
Wacko. Who knew a bat was sociable? But you do see them all hanging upside
bats
down by each other.
Bats are highly social.
You
see them sweeping around, but when they are sick,
they
stay away from the other bats because they know enough in their little vampire brain not to get other people sick.
There you go.
So I just thought, this is research at Ohio State University that did this, and it is, why do bats know how to do this? I don't know. But it's the vampire bats that do this.
All right, good.
The
to
wild
know.
Vampire bats, which I didn't even really know they
I
were.
I didn't either. I'm afraid just knowing that they exist.
Yeah. But we, anyway, so that's a Halloween theory.
Now, that'd be a haunted hayride to go through vampire, you know, where vampire bats hang out.
Oh,
that'd
be if scary. They could figure out a way to do it that. Through a cave.
Oh.
Or something like that.
I bet
that.
You somebody does do that, right? Like in New Mexico or something?
Well, sure. Austin, Texas has a famous
cave.
No, it's a bridge where massive amounts of bats live.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
I've heard about that one.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's scary.
People go down for like South by Southwest.
Yes.
And they go and they
check out the bats.
Take shrooms and
well, I didn't
pre-order
that.
An Uber or something.
You know? So they're not stranded. Pick me up in 20 minutes before right. I forget.
Right. All right, listen. Oh, well, when we come back, Julia,
yes.
Ask Marilyn this week answered the question that you so vehemently wanted us to like go on a diatribe about, and that was daylight savings time, and I've got the answer for you.
Oh, perfect. All right, okay. Perfect. Hey, thanks, Rocco. You know, we are wrapping up here today and raising money for Springboard for the Arts. We need to thank Pookie. You know who you are.
And I know her.
You know her.
She say anything about me?
Wait, Lori.
He's a big music person.
Huge.
I mean, we've missed seeing
huge.
Each other at First Ave.
I know. And Rocco, you know who Pookie is.
I do.
And so Pookie and Gene and Karen and Anonymous and everybody who's donating, thank you so, so, so very much. It's really... Today was, we didn't have to beg so much. It was really lovely. But I think people are getting it, you know, and I really am excited to see how this whole thing is going to come together tomorrow.
Well, and just hearing from people like Davina and Peter Ross team just saying, like, here is the deal.
Yeah.
You know? Here's what artists are going
through
right now.
We're the first to lose our jobs and the last to get them back. I mean, that is really...
You're right.
Did
you even talk about that story where basically opening night of La Boheme, he had to tell 80 people they were out of work.
Yeah.
For indefinitely. It's a lot. It's a lot. So thank you, everybody.
And he said Springboard for the Arts got a relief fund going like immediately.
Yeah, they did.
They raised like $1 million right away and it went through it right away.
Right.
And so now they're trying to get it up and going again.
Yeah.
So anywho.
All right. So Julia, you love to, on an annual basis, have a little bit of a Suzanne Sugarbaker rant about daylight savings
time. Julia
Sugarbaker.
Suzanne Summers.
Cousin.
We're getting our shows mixed up here.
Really?
It's a long day. We had to come in at 11.
Julia Sugarbaker. Oh, I love that show. I love that show.
Designing Women.
I should look and see where I could watch that again.
That would be
fun.
That
was a great show.
Yeah, okay. It was.
So ask Marilyn. You know Marilyn, the one savant. You can ask her any.
In the paper.
It's in Parade.
Okay.
Gladys Grad from Sarasota said, "Dear Marilyn, no one likes switching from daylight savings time to standard time in the fall. Why don't we keep daylight savings time all year?" Here's what Marilyn says. "I'll bet people dislike falling back because they associate it with the coming winter and it's colder, shorter days. Consider this. How would you like keeping standard time all year but moving your daily schedules an hour earlier? If you start work or school at 8:30, you would start at 7:30 instead."
Why?
"Well, that's the same as year-round daylight savings time. So our schedules were originally set the way they are with daylight savings time all year. Our mornings would darken, and that's a big price to pay for pushing sunset only 1 hour later."
I disagree 100% with that. I'm just going to say, I would rather...
Never happen. Just so you know, I'm just telling you, you know,
all
Julia.
Right. Susan,
that's what Marilyn said.
Thank you, Marilyn. Susan, thanks for your donation. We appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. I disagree with Marilyn. I have a different opinion because I'd rather have it be dark in the morning and light later in the day.
But then your circadian rhythms are all... off because
I don't care.
Oh, you do care. You're coming up to this. The next month is our yawner month.
I thought it was this month.
No, it's November, Julia, when we're really yawning. Rocco, you're gonna find out.
Uh-oh.
The afternoon is really yawny in November.
We don't eat as much sugar as we used to around here.
Lori, I know.
And like we used to like double up on.
It's been a long time. I mean, I wouldn't mind having some Smarties here and there.
Well, yeah. We used to have a couple of coffee shops across the street. You guys would make me run.
Right, we would make
now
you run.
Now there's nothing.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh.
Well, yikes. Actually, maybe there is one. Is that restaurant / coffee?
I have no idea.
I think so. Again?
I have no idea.
I've been
there
a couple times.
Well, Caribou. Is their holiday magic is coming back. I just want you to know they're kicking off the holidays in their stores are going to be decorated differently and you can get a ho-ho mint mocha or a fa-la latte. Yeah. I'm ready for the holiday drinks to come early.
I've already started making them at my house.
Are you? What is in yours? Well, first of all, describe what Casey, my brother, husband, puts in his coffee.
Casey Rocco says to me, my pants, I'm a fatty. That's what he said about himself. I'm a fatty, okay? Yeah.
He weighs less than me.
Weight is because he had a little foot surgery and couldn't go to the gym for like 2 days. So anyway,
world is over.
He's like, what do you mean? I don't even see anything but a washboard, you know? And he's like, I don't know. I just don't like how my pants are fitting. And I said, well, why don't you cut out 2 of your 3 candy coffees a day.
Listen to what goes in Casey's coffee.
It's International Foods coffee, you know.
In a tin can.
In the can. Now it's in like a recyclable, a better thing.
But it's half sugar.
The first ingredient is sugar, okay? Which when this, and something like that, that means 90% of the product. The last ingredient is coffee. There's a couple grounds. Then he adds honey. Then he adds brown sugar, and then he adds a nice dollop of Bailey's, and then he stirs it, and you could stick a spoon in it. It's so thick.
Oh, I remember those tins of International Coffee.
He still drinks some. My brother still drinks some.
Three a day.
Yeah, that can't be good. I mean, is he ever? My wife kind of turned me on to Noom a while back. And that when you start looking at what the calories are in things that you just, you know, like a little coffee, you know, you start to go, okay. Like a glass of wine, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Beer, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. No, I looked at that once years ago when we first got married. Just, I was like, wow, is this like drinking like Nestle Quick every day? I mean, that's basically, but you know what I mean?
A hot cocoa sounds good with pepperoni schnapps.
I hadn't seen anybody since my first father-in-law who was a Sanka drinker. Spoon anything out of anything to make coffee.
You love guys who like instant coffee.
It was his dad.
Oh, God, that's funny, Lori.
And I think his dad always said it was because he was Europe for 4 years. Oh. No. My first father-in-law.
Okay.
And they got used to drinking Sanka.
Oh, it's so funny.
Anyway, I don't know.
You can buy used tins of those International Foods coffees on eBay for like $25.
Casey has kept some of his tins.
Oh, Lori, you've got a fortune happening in your basement.
And you know why? Because he said if they're not going to make them anymore, these are good for like bolts or nails.
Or hiding paraphernalia.
You know, some Schneider things.
They've got a pyramid wall.
Right.
Ready to go. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. You can donate all night long to all the charities. We hope you think of Springboard for the Arts. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a good night. We'll be back
tomorrow. It's Friday.
Job done. Off you go.